broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for August the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick few headlines from the last several days of import. Musk fires at Twitter, citing fraud. Twitter fires back, called the claims false and irrelevant. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, Twitter is melting down. We also talked about the Department of Transportation is trying to push for changes to federal policy that basically increase flight refund capabilities for recourse for passengers when airlines cancel flights or significantly alter a flight's schedule or route or seat categories, etc. They say if a new federal law goes into effect, Americans will have more recourse when airlines do these things. Well, that sounds great on the surface. Everybody kind of would agree we need a Bill of Rights for travelers. The problem with it is, ladies and gentlemen, is why is government involved in transportation at all? Okay? Why do we have government controlling and requiring licenses for Uber and Lyft and taxi cabs and airlines and trains? And why is government in control of our transportation? Did you know that's one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto for government to be in control of transportation? So I appreciate the government trying to make things nicer for we the people, but what we really need is government completely out of the transportation business. Also, then the government now saying, hey, monkeypox is now an emergency, they claim. And my response is, who's getting it and how are they getting it? Is it really a national emergency? Why are they promoting the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda, knowing we had AIDS in the 80s and now we have this? Wow. We also highlighted this abortion case, Tuesday's resounding referendum victory for abortion rights supporters in the state of Kansas, provides some evidence that the political landscape has shifted in America towards pro-death. It's a sad scenario, big time. But they say the victory was by a 59-41 margin. It occurred in a, quote, Republican stronghold state. Now, I don't know if that's true. What I mean is you can say, well, yeah, it was Republican, but it was mainstream. It was the Romney-esque Republicans, if you will. I mean, these guys are bordering on Barney Frank Democrat-style Republicanism. Kirk Crosby, my former co-host and still dear friend, points this out. What the heck is a Republican? Well, with those kind of Republicans, who needs friends, right? But believe it or not, they say this might turn out to create abortion rights win in probably 40 states. If they can get referendums, they'll push for pro-death and try to make it the law of the land, regardless of what the Supreme Court did. Where do you stand, my fellow Americans? You better not remain silent in the culture war, or we're going to lose that one, too. We also then, last week, had on a guest by the name of Rod Collins, and he creates what's called selfmanagementcollaborative.com, and it's wiki management, if you will, a revolutionary new model for a rapidly changing and collaborative world. Nobody is smarter than everybody, he says. And the idea behind all this is, look, we don't need these top-down models to manage companies. We can have basically everybody's peer-to-peer. Nobody's in charge. It sounds great. I like a lot of the concepts from it. I think there's a lot of takeaways that make sense from it. But I also think in its totality, it doesn't seem like it works. It's kind of like the libertarian anarchist folks. You know, they believe that we don't need any government at all and it'll just be fine. Everybody can be self-governed. I wish society worked that way, but it doesn't. If you're not very careful, a vacuum will occur. And then, hey, the biggest violator of liberty will fill that vacuum if you're not very, very careful Indeed. To prove the point, speaking of that reality check, ladies and gentlemen, now the left is trying to impeach Clarence Thomas. They already have well over a million signatures in support of their efforts, folks. Can you believe that? They already have literally a million plus signatures for their agenda. Now, this is where, why can't the Republicans, why can't the conservatives, why can't the constitutionalists, why can't the American people, why can't the right, whatever word you want to use for us, why can't the moral majority is what I would call it, why can't we the people, why can't the family leaders stand together for something? Why aren't we trying to impeach Joe Biden? This guy's literally a criminal in the White House. We have documented the Hunter Biden's scandals, from drug abuse to getting women pregnant and lying about it and getting caught, all the way to his international dealings without filing as a foreign agent. And then he lied and said he didn't get any of this information to his dad, but now we know that Hunter Biden's business associates literally met with Joe in the White House when Joe was VP. We have the goods on Joe. We have the goods on Hunter. We have the goods on Hillary and Bill. We have the goods on Barack Obama, on all these clowns. But yet nothing is done. No arrests are made. No accountability is created, because we, the conservatives, don't get together and demand it. We don't put our money where our mouth is. We don't, okay? We could use a lot of money for this radio network. We didn't do the broadcast on Saturday because a piece of equipment failed and I had to throw the piece away. But we're running everything on a thin, thin, thin dime. I jokingly call it the Widow's Mite Radio Network. It's that thin. We need people's support, folks. It's debatable. Are we already in World War III? Was COVID-19 the first shot fired? Is your government turning against you? Is the deep state in bed with globalists to destroy your liberty? Think about it. We had the CPAC that just took place in Texas, right? Donald Trump got 69% of the vote at the CPAC conference in Dallas last week, followed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who received 24% of the vote. Now, you look at that and you go, wow, Donald sure got it wrapped up for 2024 if he wants it, doesn't he? I don't know. Do you believe Donald Trump is the guy we want next? Is he going to do a good enough job? He was the guy that promised, hey, he'd get to the libel and slander laws. I don't see that. He didn't do anything. He was the one that promised we'd get to the bottom of the Barack Obama birth certificate lie and forgery. He never got to the bottom of that. He was the one that promised lock up Hillary. He never got to the bottom of that. He's the one that promised we'd have a border wall. Now it's still not built and it leaks like a sieve. Did he do a lot of good? Yes. On the pro-life front, he did some good. But now it's being overturned by Republicans everywhere. He tried to do some good on the Obamacare scenario, forcing us all to have Obamacare insurance and everything else. But again, that just got overturned and shunned by his party. So even if Donald is the guy, and even if the party is in lockstep with Donald, he's being undermined by the deep state at every turn. But Donald Trump and Governor Ron DeSantis can't really run together because they have, quote, residency in the same state. Electoral college rules prevent that, from what I understand. Fine, who next? What about a Donald Trump, Ted Cruz ticket? Now you'd have Florida, kind of New York representation with the Donald. You'd have Texas representation with Ted Cruz. Is that a viable ticket? What about a Ted Cruz, Ron DeSantis ticket? Remember, Ted was follow-up. He got more votes than anybody else, not counting Donald Trump back in the day, right? Well, the problem is Ted Cruz's wife is a globalist. She works with the Federal Reserve System and stuff like this, right? So I appreciate Ted Cruz standing up boldly on a lot of topics. He's done quite well, but he's not getting enough news coverage. What about Mitt Romney? Is he going to run? I don't know where all this goes, but at CPAC, Donald Trump literally got 69%, followed by DeSantis that got 24%, a distant. After that, nobody got more than 2%. All the other names you could think of, nobody got anything to speak of after those two. That's very interesting as well. All right, the Alex Jones trial takes a bizarre turn, writes Joel Skousen in his incredible weekly news offering called World Affairs Brief, worldaffairsbrief.com. Alex finally admitted that the Sandy Hook school shooting was real and that it really happened. Okay. But the plaintiffs and the lawyers and everybody else, it wasn't enough for them for him to admit this, folks. They sued him for general defamation. Now, here's what's interesting, though. They claim that he defamed these clients, including, this is interesting, unnamed federal officials. Who are the unnamed federal officials? See, we need to get that stuff out in court. They claim to be defamed by conspiracy facts, which point to the shooting. So what facts are we talking about? Well, many say that it was a government-backed operation using a mind-controlled shooter with a government handler present to make sure that he killed himself after the fact so that he couldn't, you know, dead people tell no tales, right? Well, you can say that's crazy. Was there really a handler? Yeah, there was, folks. Listen. Listen carefully. That handler was observed by students being led away in handcuffs, but never charged or never had his name revealed. What's that all about, folks? Answer. Alex Jones may not have been right about some facts of the case, but he was onto something that they cannot have exposed.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about this Alex Jones case. Ladies and gentlemen, he was literally fined $4 million. Then on the heels of that, literally $45 million. Now, I know Alex Jones might have said and done some things that he shouldn't have said and done. But you know what? The Alex Jones trial takes a bizarre turn, writes Joel Skousen. All right, where they basically are trying to use this for intimidation purposes. Alex is being put up as the poster child. They tried to do that to Ammon Bundy, too, but they lost that one. But if this novel legal precedent holds, it puts all of us who claim the government is involved in false flag conspiracies at risk of lawsuits by unfairly aggrieved federal agents who claim they're assaulted by our views. They know the government created a crisis, but they live behind these deep state secrets, right? So they say this, you've got to go along with their narrative. Right? Think about this. Even though the government created the crisis, yet they hide behind the veil of, quote, state secrets. Mike Cernovich wrote, the Alex Jones, quote, precedent means if you don't accept the Las Vegas shooting explanation from your government, then FBI agents can sue you. Why? Because you're calling them liars by, quote, implication. He's right, writes Joel Skousen. This is the problem. They're using these key cases, Stuart Rhodes, Ammon Bundy, Alex Jones. Now, I don't agree with all that Alex says and does, but I will defend his right to say it. Think of the evil statements government has made. Harry Reid literally lied and said that Richard Mack was a terrorist. Well, if Richard Mack is a terrorist, where's the proof? There's no violence or terrorism on his watch. In fact, when he went to the Supreme Court, it looks like the only one violating the law was Bill Clinton. See? But if Harry Reid can call Richard Mack a terrorist blatantly, openly, why can't Alex Jones say, I don't believe that the Sandy Hook shooting ever happened? The families are lying. They're actors. Now, I don't agree with saying that because I don't believe Alex was right on that point. But he has every right to bring up and expose the fact that, you know what, I don't believe the government's official narrative on Sandy Hook either. Am I allowed to say that, or does this novel legal precedent hold where I can't criticize anything they say, or by de facto I'm calling them liars? And since they control the, quote, facts behind the cloak of government secrecy, do they get their way? So now the jury awards $45 million. They say stop. Listen. They gave $45 million. Stop the monetization of misinformation and lies. Now, is that what Alex Jones is doing, or is that what your government's doing? Punitive damages, ladies and gentlemen, are meant to punish defendants for particularly egregious conduct beyond monetary compensation to the individuals they hurt. A high punitive award of money is seen by the jury to send a wider societal message to deter others. They say you have the ability to stop this man from ever doing it again. Wesley Vall, he's an attorney for the parents, told the jury, send the message to those who desire to do the same thing. Speech is free. Lies you pay for, quote, is what he said. So it all depends on who defines speech versus lies. Attorneys for the jury, or I'm sorry, attorneys for the family had urged the jurors to hand down a final punishment that would put InfoWars out of business. Think about that, folks. They are going after Alex like nobody's business. Now, again, it doesn't matter if you agree with Alex on everything or not. Okay? I don't agree with Alex on everything. But where does this go when we start to do this? Can he say, I don't believe Sandy Hook was real? Can he say, I believe the families are lying? Well, I don't believe the government's official story. I don't believe everything that Alex brought forward either. But this is a very, very serious case precedent that Joel Skousen documents is very dangerous for America. All right? If this novel legal precedence holds, is what they're saying, this idea that we can go behind deep state secrets, claim that you can't even know our names, you'll never face your accuser, you'll never have a speedy trial, you'll never get all the evidence out on the courts, you'll never have appropriate due process. They're just saying, look, you've said lies. You've called the government liars by implication of your stance, and therefore you're going down. And we will award punitive damages that will bury you, destroy your company, so that nobody ever gets the notion that they can speak out again. Think about that, folks. Isn't that scary, folks, when you think about it? Isn't that just shocking of what the jury was told? Now, the problem with a lot of this, too, is, hey, jurors are being told false information over and over and over again as well. Now, listen to this. The Sandy Hook lawyer that's against Alex Jones intends to turn over a copy of Alex's Jones phone records to the January 6th panel. Whoa. Yeah. They're going to turn over Alex Jones's phone records to the January 6th panel. Now, here's what happened. Supposedly, Jones's attorneys or some legal counsel members leaked the information on Alex Jones's phone to the other side. And then that came out in court. Now, in a normal proceeding, this would create a mistrial. They wouldn't be allowed to use this in court, but somehow this is being allowed to continue, not only taint Alex Jones's case, but I don't believe that it was an error to turn over those records. I believe it was intentional, because now these records are going to the January 6th panel. How convenient that is, right? Now, the jury heard testimony that Jones, that's Alex Jones, and his company Free Speech Systems, that's the parent company of InfoWars, have a net worth of $135 million to $270 million. Now, whether he has a lot of money or not isn't the point. Just because he has a lot of money, is that designed to insult the jury, to where the jury's like, well, this rich guy can pay, by golly, if he's worth $135 million to $270 million, fighting him $50 million to send a case president to the nation, to the world, about free speech on trial, so to speak. And then, hey, don't worry, he's rich anyway. How much money you have shouldn't relate to your punishment, should it? Well, they say, yeah, Sam, that it was ill-gotten gained on these lies. But think about that for a minute, though. Where do we go with this? When you say somebody has a net worth of $135 million, right, to $270 million, that doesn't sound like to me they really know if they have that wide of a spectrum of how much he has in the first place, right? Per the Times. So now you're going to the news again. The Times are saying how much Alex Jones has. So they say the $49 million in total damages ordered would only be about three quarters of 1 year's revenue for Alex Jones, according to last year, they say, of almost $65 million. So now we're literally saying, hey, you have plenty of money, right? I just kind of wonder, where do we go from here with that kind of stuff? So I have a problem with all that, saying, oh, look, we can prove in court Jones has a ton of money, therefore we have every right to take a chunk of that money. I've got a problem with that idea. Is that justice to say, hey, if you have a lot of money, now you could say, well, he made all of his money on that. And my response is, no, he didn't. He made most of his money selling herbal products. But yet they say it was on the backs of this spinning these lies. Where do we go with all that, folks? I don't know, but I'm not comfortable with any of it. Okay? Like I say, I don't agree with Alex Jones on everything. I'm not really defending Alex here. But I am defending his right to free speech. I am defending his right to think and believe how he wants to. And you say, yeah, Sam, free speech is free. But lies are not. And my response is, who determines what's speech and what's lies? Are you going to let your government, the deep state, determine that for us? The government or the founding fathers didn't put the First Amendment and say, but if you oppose the government, you're lying. They're turning it into a witch hunt. Ladies and gentlemen, pray for America, will you?
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. By an overwhelming 86-11 vote, the Senate Tuesday night gave final passage to a bill that ramps up health care and disability benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and other toxins. The PACT Act of 2022 passed Tuesday night. Pat Toomey, who led the Republicans in stalling the measure, warned that it included what he calls a trick that would permit indiscriminate spending. And a school in Utah has removed books from the shelves.
Utah's largest public school district is defending its decision to remove 52 books that some parents view as pornographic. The Alpine School District has roughly 84,000 students. The district decided to pull the books by 41 authors from its library shelves after an internal audit flagged them as sensitive material without literary merit. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
I'm Tony Maruso for USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the buy one, get one extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
A kidnapped girl's escape in Alabama has led to the discovery of two decomposing bodies and the arrest of a man now facing murder and kidnapping charges. Police got a call Monday morning from a driver about a 12-year-old girl walking alone along County Road 34 in Dadeville, Tallapoosa County. Sheriff Jimmy Abbott said Tuesday at a news conference the girl had been restrained to bedposts for about a week, according to the criminal complaint. Jose Paulino Pascal Reyes, 37, was arrested Monday about 25 miles away in Auburn on suspicion of first-degree kidnapping by U.S. Marshals and police, the sheriff said, adding other agencies are also on this case. U.S. job openings fell by the most in just over 2 years in June as demand for workers eased in the retail and wholesale trade industries. But overall, the labor market remains tight, allowing the Federal Reserve to continue raising interest rates. At least 4.2 million workers voluntarily quit their jobs in June and layoffs declined. This is USA Radio News.
All right, the producer of the beloved candy bar Snickers issued an apology on Friday after releasing an ad suggesting that Taiwan is a country. Wow. So they called Taiwan a country, and of course China and the United States, who claim it's not a country, literally rioted, forced Snickers to apologize. Wow, what do you think of that, folks? The tyranny continues as we get in bed with the communist Chinese. Any truth told is a revolutionary act in modern society, sadly so. All right, I got the last interview that we did at Freedom Fest, by the way. Leslie Rubin is the guy's name. He's president of what's called Main Street Economics. MainStreetEconomics.org. He does a phenomenal job. And he says our mission is to educate the public on economics so people can vote for smart economic policy and get our country back on track. The interview starts now. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. The incredible guests, the heavy hitters just keep on coming on Liberty Roundtable Live from Freedom Fest. It is day four. And man, we got a lot going on. Our next guest, Leslie Rubin. He happens to be the president of Mainstream Economics, and MainstreamEconomics.org is their website. Now listen to this. They say our mission is to educate the public on economics so people can vote smart, so they can vote for smart economic policy to get our country back on target, back on track. Man, we got to do that. ladies and gentlemen, we got a country that works, and now they're ruining it. We got to stop them. We got to stand for what matters. We got to learn economics and then vote smart is the idea. Leslie, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, let's learn a little bit about who you are first. Who are you, Leslie?
Well, actually, I'm a small businessman in Clearwater, Florida.
Okay.
And several years ago, I decided that things are going askew in this country. We're getting into deeper and deeper financial problem, and what can one guy do about it? So the idea came to me that, number one, I can't convince the politicians. I've got to get to the voters for them to get to the politicians. So I started Main Street Economics as an educational tool to do that, and it's evolving right now into something that's almost ready to go public, which I plan to market in the fall. The whole idea is that we are falling off the fiscal cliff economically, and the projections from the CBO make it even worse. And if we don't do something, we are going to hit disaster sometime in the next 5 to 10 years.
Amen to that. So what were you a businessman in before you kind of came up with the concept of Main Street Economics?
Well, I'm still there. I have a day job, and that's developing commercial real estate. And I've been doing that for 45 years. This is a new venture for me. It's kind of my give back project to try and help this country.
Wow, I love it. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the fundamentals of this then. Hey, I agree that we're going to run off the cliff if we're not very careful. You just cannot create out of thin air trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars with eventually. One guy put it, the former Secretary of Agriculture during the Eisenhower administration, his name is Ezra Taft Benson. He basically said, look, you cannot continue to drink from the bottle of false economic prosperity. And what you're going to have to do is wake up and face the music, and he kind of compares it to an alcoholic, right? And the highlight is, look, we got to call a halt to the con game, and we got to do it fast.
We do have to do it fast. We can't wait. And so my website is mainstreeteconomics.org, and right now I've created a video called The Debt Bomb. It's 2.5 minutes that really summarizes our problem. And every concerned American should take 2.5 minutes to see that, to see how bad the problem is. Then in the fall, I'm finishing up a book called Why You Should Give a Damn About Economics. It's a basic layman to layman. I'm a layman. I'm not an economist. My background is accounting. But it's a layman to layman book. Under 100 pages about basic economics with a major section on what are our problems and how do we fix them.
And the video, again, is called The Debt Bomb?
The Debt Bomb. Yeah, it's on our website. It's on YouTube under U.S. Debt Bomb. Easy to find. It takes 2.5 minutes, and I think every adult should see this video so they'll understand the magnitude of the problem.
A lot of people have seen it as you've been playing it over at your booth, too, right?
It's new. It's only been up a week or so. So it's just getting publicity now. And the main publicity will come in the fall when I publish my book, which will be free on our website.
Wow.
This is my give back project. I want America to know the problems. And I know there are solutions, but they're difficult. Very difficult.
Yes, they are. What do you think of Rand Paul's six-penny plan?
I think that's one of many good plans, and I think it could be very effective if you could get it done. The problem is...
Yeah, they just dismiss him out of hand, don't they?
Well, you can't get anything done in Congress. The problem is the politicians are all going to do the same thing. They're going to do what it takes to get reelected. So if we don't get pressure from the public to say, fix this mess before it's too late, the politicians are going to be... keep on keeping on. And
yes,
and the CBO projects another $15 trillion of debt over the next 10 years, and we already have $112 trillion of debt, including unfunded obligations.
Yes, unfunded liabilities are a serious problem. In fact, when I got into radio over 25 years ago, I remember the comptroller of the currency said, look, we're running off a cliff, people. That was then. Now it's it's a gazillion times worse.
One of my consultants is a former comptroller of the currency, and he's the one that helped me understand the financial statements published by the government to get to the $112 trillion. It's not my number. It comes right out of the financial statements that are published by the Treasury. And one of the main statements that they say right in the executive summary, the fiscal path we are on is unsustainable. That's right out of the Treasury's report.
Well, and those who hold our debt eventually will force a call, will call their notes and force a halt to the con game, right? I mean, they will.
Well, in my video, I say, what happens if? I address the scenario of what happens if we can't borrow money anymore. And there are three scenarios, and they're all terrible. I mean, they're catastrophic.
Give me the three quickly.
Well, one is we can print money to pay our debt, which does nothing other than hyperinflation.
Yes.
A second one is that we can force a balanced budget. We pay the debt as we need to, and every other part of government gets cut back to where we balance the budget.
And we're quickly running out of that solution because at some point you won't be able to pay the interest either.
Well, there'll be very little left to run the government. If you calculate it in 10 years, we'll have $45 trillion of debt. And if you use a simple interest rate of maybe 4 or 5%, that's going to suck up all our revenue. And then the third is the default on the debt, which is an international calamity. There are no good solutions in that, and I address all of that in my debt bomb video. Every American that has any interest in what's going on in this country should see that 2.5 minute video.
Is there any way for a peaceful landing?
Yes. You have to suck it up and fix entitlements as a starter. Entitlements is one of the huge drags on us. We have to balance the budget, and we have to cut spending in other ways. And if you look at history, and you see what happened in the 20s and the 30s. We had a terrible financial situation in 1921 when Harding took over. What did Harding do? He cut taxes and balanced the budget, and we had the roaring 20s. Then Hoover and Roosevelt took over, and what did they do? They spent and spent and spent, and very bad economic policies, and we got the Great Depression. We just need to look at history to learn. It's one of my weekly emails, which people can sign up for if they're interested, is when will we ever learn?
You go to mainstreeteconomics.org to sign up for that email, right?
Right.
Okay, keep going. I just want to make sure people know where to go.
It's when will we ever learn? History and the real world tells us all we need to know about how to solve the problem. The politicians will not do it. They're interested in getting reelected. And as long as that's a situation, we are not going to solve a problem. The American people have to demand that the politicians fix it. And that's what my goal is. Get to the American people, let them know what the problems are and how to fix them. And they're fixable. I'm not sanguine, but I do believe they're fixable. And we have to demand it.
There will become a day that it won't be fixable, huh?
The day will come when we will fall off the fiscal cliff and it will not be fixable anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reality check from Freedom Fest. I know it's not pleasant to hear. The best news about it all, in my mind, is that we do have time to fix it. We still can make hard choices. We still can throw down the bottle of false economic prosperity, and we can make changes if we, the people, get engaged enough to do so. MainStreetEconomics.com is the website.
.org.
Or .org, sorry. MainStreetEconomics.org. Leslie Rubin, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And this is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Leslie Rubin was a great interview, very educated gentleman about economics, and he wrote a book, Why You Should Give a Damn, about economics. And it really points to something such as simple as, hey, the gas pump wars, you know, the gas is more expensive than ever before, and people are putting bumper stickers on it saying, Joe did it, pointing at Joe, kind of an idea. I don't think you can blame it all on Joe. I agree the latest fiasco is on Joe, but it's everybody who's embraced fake money in the first place. And because of this fake money and the ever never-ending printing of money, we've got a massive problem, right? We've got a debt bomb like you wouldn't believe. And Leslie highlights this, and on his video, mainstreameconomics.com, ladies and gentlemen, they've got a video up there that highlights this. There's no audio or else we would play it. But all I'm telling you is he does a great job, mainstreameconomics.org. And that rounds out, believe it or not, our, I don't know what you want to call it, our interviews that took place when we went to the Freedom Fest event, but also when we went to the CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, press conference on election fraud. We had a tremendous week of just star-studded interviews, just great people, great time, great effort, great information. That wraps up those interviews. And because of my travel, because there's so much content in the news, it's really difficult to figure out what to cover and what not to cover. Think about what we've covered on today's broadcast. All right, with Lowell Nelson, first hour. We literally had a report on his leadership school. If you can't go to one of these schools, you know what? Create one of your own and invite them in to do the schools, right? FACL-training.org is the website to learn more about that. We talked about Simone Gold being in jail for, quote, trespassing. Never mind, she was super peaceful the whole time. We now have a two-tiered system of justice in this country. That point cannot be overlooked. Journalist Julie Kelly's unshakable faith in freedom. That's the newamerican.com magazine talking about her tremendous reporting on the J6, dishonest lies by deep state government. All right. How government used, I guess Julie Kelly has this book, January 6th, how government or how Democrats used the Capitol protest to launch a war on terror against the, quote, political right. I mean, just riveting stuff. Julie Kelly telling the tale about Ray Epps. The FBI literally said in August that it didn't find any evidence that January 6th was an organized plot to overturn the election. That's according to four government, current and former law officials, plus the member of the Proud Boys was an informant. He said that there was no plan. So you got five people documenting there's no plan. Why is the mainstream press literally still using this to attack all of us, even those of us who didn't go? They know full well that there was no general insurrection. But then they don't focus on Ray Epps. You've literally got a prisoner now testifying, this guy tried to recruit me. Why is Ray Epps not in jail for citing the crowd? obstruction of Congress, seditious conspiracy, and so on and so on. It really highlights it. We also talked about this Russian military, or rumor mill, it depends on how you look at it, claims that the Ukraine is the origin of COVID-19, and that it was intentionally done by the Americans, claim the Russians. Russia directly accuses the United States of creating and releasing COVID-19. Russia then pointed to U.S. Congressman Jason Crow of the House Intelligence Committee, who warned Americans about giving their DNA to these private companies, because if you do, that'll be sold to private third parties, or maybe the governments of the world, who will eventually use that to create what? Develop biological weapons targeting specific groups or individuals. See, that is riveting scary. Are we already in World War III? Was C-19 or COVID-19 the first weapon fired? You know, these are serious questions. I don't claim to know the answers yet. I do believe that the COVID was a bioweapon intentionally created and released. You say, Sam, you're just following the propaganda of the Russians. And my response is, do you trust the American narrative any better? The ones that told you that 2 weeks would flatten the curve? The ones that told you at first, oh, don't worry about COVID, it's no big deal? The ones that then said 2 weeks to flatten the curve? The ones that then fast-tracked vaccinations? The ones that tried to force us all to be vaccinated? The ones that locked us up in our houses and literally destroyed the economy of the whole world? The United States still not even recovering? That narrative we're supposed to trust? The Fauci lies, where he told you masks don't matter, you don't need them, won't do any good. Then he says, oh, no, you got to have a mask. In fact, you got to have two masks. This guy that's been back and forth on everything, the guy that mocked us for saying it might have been created in the lab until he got exposed, as he knew that from the very start, and he lied to you? And we're supposed to trust the American narrative? Wow. And then now they're using this legal precedent to attack Alex Jones and the rest of us? Wow, folks, we've got a long road to hoe when it comes to the truth. And they're working on throwing us all in jail. You would say, well, it doesn't apply to me, Sam. Maybe not today. Right? It reminds you of the Nazi Germany scenario where, hey, they came for the Jews and I wasn't a Jew. They're coming for old Sam Bushman. He's crazy. He speaks out and he's nuts. Alex Jones, he's saying things that are false. Well, maybe so. But when did saying something false in a free speech country like America become, well, you get penalties of $50 million? Where do we go from here? Well, I've told you, ladies and gentlemen, several times that they are using, I don't know what word to use here, but they are using several issues to overwhelm and destroy America. Some of them are cultural issues. Some of them are just in-your-face issues. For example, the border leaking like a sieve. They can mock us when we talk about race replacement. I don't know that it's replacement, because if we had enough children as white people, they couldn't replace us, right? The fact that we've been dumbed down into having no children as a civilization is another problem in and of itself. So I don't believe in the replacement idea. They can't replace us if we're having children. But no doubt they are literally bringing people into this country that don't share our values and don't share our culture. And instead of yesteryear, the way they used to bring in people from different cultures, they used to teach them American values. They used to want to leave their old country behind and have a new life and a new way and a new culture. And they wanted to become Americans. Now they no longer want that. They just want their enclaves. We're going to keep our culture and keep everything, and you're going to fund us and subsidize us. Now put us in an enclave. Let us keep everything we brought with us and fund it for us, please. This lie is the problem. Well, anyway, from that, diluting the vote, changing America, I don't know what words to use, from a moral, independent people, to an immoral dependent population. That's what we're talking about, right? Whether it's that, whether it's attack all leaders on all five fundamental guarantees in the First Amendment, that's all under attack. Where do we go here in the culture war? From the pro-life issue to now they've literally are waiting for the House to give the final nod to a huge, which we'll get into in the next couple of days, a huge bill that's going to move us into climate change. If you believe the thugs and the government and the liberals, utopia. If you believe me, absolute dismantling of every way of life that you have. You'll be taken out of your car. Your AC will go away. All the things that you hold dear will go away. Your ability to eat meat will go away, and you'll be on plants and bugs. And okay, this is the agenda they have for you. You can say I'm nuts, and then what they do is they say I'm a climate change denier. And then what they say is we can't have these climate change deniers around. They ought to be arrested. They ought to be prosecuted for their false information. After all, if they claim that the environment or the climate change, whatever narrative of your government, if they claim it's not true, by de facto, they're calling the government liars. Therefore, they should be prosecuted. And the Ministry of Truth, in a backhanded way, takes over the courts and attacks us all. Are we the people going to take this laying down? From COVID to climate change to overwhelming us at the border? You look at these things and they're changing America. And the problem is Americans don't really see it. Because what they do is they lock down and take away so much. And then they like the good cop, bad cop scenario. They give you a lot of it back and you go, well, at least I can go to a restaurant now. Well, you've lost a lot of your liberty, but you've got some back. It's like the Stockholm Syndrome. Pretty soon your abusers become your friends in the good cop, bad cop lies of manipulation. Americans are being gaslighted like never before. The government has turned into the enemy, declaring war on we the people, in bed with the mainstream media. Now, that's my opinion. I believe there's plenty of evidence for my opinion. But am I allowed to express my opinion? We used to say that's my opinion to which I'm entitled to. Am I entitled to that now, my own opinion or not? Am I allowed to say that or does it turn out to be, well, I am saying they're lying if I'm telling the truth and they're saying I'm lying. But if I say they're lying, I can be prosecuted for that. If they say I'm lying, they have the power to put me in jail for that. Folks, we are leaving the fundamentals of a free society behind. How long will it be until they use climate change, COVID, in other words, vaccinations, and illness, so health, mental, and physical, along with climate change, along with overwhelming our border, and how long will they put that into a credit score? And the credit score is financial in part, which they've already got, Experian, Equifax and TransUnion are the three gatekeepers for that. And how long until it has, quote, social credit score involved? You know, Sam, you sure say a lot of bad stuff, buddy. You got a negative culture score mixed with your financial score. I don't think you ought to be able to buy and sell, Sam. I don't think you ought to be treated as normal. We don't want to do business with you. We don't want to share credit card services with you or insurance with you or whatever it is. Is that where we're headed, folks? I think the answer is clear yes. If you look at the Communist Nation of China, that's our most favored nation trading partner. That's where they already are. And that's where America is swiftly traveling to. Can we turn the boat around? I believe we can. What is it going to take? The moral majority to stand up and say, uh-uh, you've lost your minds. We got to jettison the gatekeepers of the mainstream press, and we got to hold government bureaucrats at all levels accountable. Will you help us? Peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth is our goal. We pray for your support in the culture war. We need your funding and more. LibertyRoundtable.com, LoveAndLiberty.net. God save the Republic.